Gaffers and Sattler present 30 Minutes in Hollywood, starring George Jessel. Minutes in Hollywood, starring George Jessel and another appearance of Miss Norma Talmadge, who will be interviewed by Howard Greer, one of Hollywood's outstanding fashion creators. The cast includes Dorothy McNulty, Amy Arnell, Tommy Tucker and his orchestra, little Josephine Starr, and the visit of two important guest stars, MGM's great young singing star Judy Garland and the famous big film and motion picture comedian of Wheeler and Woolsey, Burt Wheeler. Tommy Tucker and his orchestra opened George Jessel's office in Hollywood with Laugh Your Way Through Life from Alibaba Goes to Town.
Hello, Jessel's 30 Minutes in Hollywood. Miss McDougie talking.
Just a minute.
I'll see if I can get him for you.
Call for Philip Jessel.
Thank you. Hello? Yes, Mom, this is George. Yes, Mother, I just got in. Oh, did you move into that new California bungalow I bought you? Oh, you did. Well, how do you like it? It's pretty damp, huh? Well, that's funny. You wish it had a roof? But wait, Mama, no. You're not in the bungalow. You're in the swimming pool. Yeah, the little building to the left, that's the bungalow. Oh, you tried that already? Well, how do you like it? It's a little tight through the shoulders. Yeah, well, all right. Look, I'll call you back later. Yeah, or you call me back, because I'm on the air now. Call me back at the end of the breadcast. The breadcast, yes.
You said breadcast instead of broadcast.
To you, it may be broadcast. To me, it's bread. Don't worry yourself. Bread and oleomargarine. But I want to start this program with something I know you folks are anxious to hear about, particularly here, you football fans in California. In the game between UCLA and Minnesota, it's nearly over, and California is winning.
That game isn't until December.
I know, but it's a good way to start the program. Keeps the people pepped up, you know? Folks, you have no idea how hard it is to arrange a radio program. Really, it's it.
Well, why don't you say something about the Chinese winning the war?
My child, it's not up to a radio comedian to take sides or be partisan and a thing like that. But don't you worry about the Chinese. If they stiffen their defenses like they've been doing to my shirt, they're going to be all right. Don't worry yourself. Propose a radio program so hard to arrange. An outside
inside of you.
Miss McDopey, what are all these people doing here in my office? Or is this a shortcut to the smoking room? What's going on here?
Oh, that's Tommy Tucker and his band. They're waiting to see you. Uh-huh.
Oh, Mr. Jessel.
Yes, Tommy?
My boys haven't tasted food in 4 days.
Tell them not to worry. It still tastes the same. There's nothing to worry about.
They said they're willing to forget half of what you owe them. What do you say?
All right, I'll forget the other half, and that makes us even. Now, you see? Come in.
Oh, hello, Mr. Jessel. Mm. I'd like to know when you all want me to sing my song this week.
Well, Amy Arnell, shut my brow and fan my window. If you don't talk more like Stephen Puckett every day, really you do. What a busy place. Come in.
Hey, are you Jessel?
Yes.
Is your dough man out there double-jointed?
No.
Then I broke his leg.
A nice kid. Say, who are you?
I came here to deliver this picture to you.
Say, Dorothy, doesn't this gentleman talk like Nicholas Murray Butler? He's so different, eh?
Butler, Schmutler, as long as you're healthy.
Oh, a monkey came in the office.
Hey, listen, I brought you this beautiful picture of a reindeer. COD, $4.
Well, I can't pay you today.
I know. NSF, not sufficient funds.
How do you know?
I was here last week. You see, I couldn't get a ticket to the Jack Benny broadcast, so I told...
Oh, get out of here. Okay, now, this really is a beautiful picture. It is a lovely deer. Miss McDopey, where are you?
Here I am, sitting on your knees.
Oh, yes. This is a fine office. Miss McDopey, I want you to hang this picture over my desk.
My goodness. What in the world is that?
Well, what do it look like, Amy?
Well, it looks like a horse with a tree growing on its head.
No, that ain't no horse with a tree growing on its head. Miss McDopey, you know what that is.
Yeah, it's Joe Brown in some kind of makeup.
It isn't any such thing.
Well, what is it?
Nah, Dorothy, you know what that is. Now think. What does your mother call your daddy?
Don't tell me that's an imbecile.
I'm not going to tell you anything. Is there anybody in my office that can do my program some good?
Yes, Mr. Jessel. Our little prima donna is outside.
Well, don't keep a little child like that waiting outside. Send her in. And here she is, ladies and gentlemen. Our little gal of Kirsten. 7.5 years and 2 weeks old today, and I'm happy to present a little Josephine Stock. Tell me, Josephine. On our opening program, you sang in Italian. Last week, you sang in French. How many foreign languages do you sing in?
5.
Isn't that wonderful? Just imagine. Child, when you grow up, you'll be able to keep a secret in 5 different languages. Tell me, what are you singing tonight, dear?
La Fille de Cadiz.
The Maids of Cadiz. That's in French, isn't it?
Oui,
oh, est-ce que ces hommes perdent d'ici fait les gens? On a fait partie des questions. Est-ce que j'en ai fait à la carte?
kitchen range might well be called the heart of the home. It's the most used piece of equipment in the home. Isn't it logical that this most important piece of home equipment should be the best? The new Gaffers and Sapler automatic gas range offers many leisure hours for the overworked housewife. This leisure time may be devoted to social functions or much-needed recreation, with the assurance that her meal will be properly and perfectly cooked, without all the drudgery of an old-time obsolete stove. In business, a man is supplied with modern tools, enabling him to do his work well. Why not also supply the housewife with modern equipment so as to make her job easier and her cooking better? The housewives of California have, by their past preference, made the Gaffers and Sapler gas range California's favorite. See these marvelous gas ranges at your nearest Gaffers and Sapler dealer tomorrow.
Come to the fashion page in our program, 30 Minutes in Hollywood. Only in response to your many kind letters and telegrams has the glamorous actress who conducts this page consented to another appearance. It is our wish that she become a permanent member of 30 Minutes in Hollywood, so that from time to time, if she wishes, she may again bring us some great moments from motion picture successes, which you, our listeners, have requested. I am proud to present my wife, the lovely Norma Talmadge.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And thank you, George.
Norma, you seem to enjoy being on the program every week, don't you?
It isn't that so much. At least I know where you are.
What did I do again? Look, honey, the gentleman who's going to interview you tells me that this year the dresses are going to be short again.
That's right.
And are you going to change with the style?
I certainly am.
Uh-huh. That means this year's husbands will be short again, too, I suppose, eh?
It won't be any novelty for you, dear.
That wasn't the lovely Norma Talmadge speaking. That was Mrs. Jessel. But look, I can't understand you girls. One minute your dresses are so long, you got to hold them up to keep from getting muddy. The next minute they're so short, you got to hold them down to keep from knocking your hats off. Really. But now, folks, I'm going to fix the scene for you. You are now in the smartest fashion shop in Hollywood. And the proprietor, that fabulous old dressmaker, the man who is now designing Katharine Hepburn's gown for her next film, is here. I want you to meet him, one of Hollywood's smartest fashion creators, Mr. Howard Greer.
Ah, good afternoon, Miss Talmadge, and what's on your mind today?
Clothes and more clothes.
Fine. Now that you've seen the entire collection, just what, if any, of the little numbers do you feel you positively can't live without?
Well, I've been flirting with that black wool, the one with the red and white candy stripes.
Why flirt with it? Why not have it?
With all those stripes running around me, I'd be afraid.
Nonsense. There's no reason to be frightened. Horizontal stripes won't make you any larger than vertical ones, if they're used the right way. Now, you couldn't find a trimmer, slimmer silhouette than this skirt has, with the inverted pleat in the center front.
The bodice I could wear. After all, the stripes run up and down there, and of course the pockets cut on the horizontal help break up the line. Yes, now I ponder over it, I don't mind the sleeves either. They're square at the shoulder, and having a three-quarter length is an advantage.
I'll say it is. In a sleeve like that, you'll never tip an ace when you deal a bridge hand or drag your cut in somebody's salad dressing when you reach for another roll.
And I don't mind the neck being cut round and close to the throat. In a pinch, there's a zipper, and I could always make a V with it.
Well, I'm glad you're beginning to see the light, Miss Talmadge. Then you'll take the striped dress.
No, I'll take the plain black one.
The plain black one? But you had a plain black one last year, and the year before that, and the year before that.
Mr. Greer, I know what I want.
Then you know more than most women do. They usually argue themselves out of the very thing they want. Now this striped dress...
I'll still take the plain black one.
Ah, you women. Well, there's one thing I learned before I was knee-high to a basting, and that is, the customer's always right. But, dear Miss Talmadge, just why won't you take the striped dress?
I'll tell you why. Suppose the stripes always remind me of Mr. Jessel's relative. Thank you, Mr. Greer. Thank you, ladies.
I'm getting to that mellow age where I'm not taking pride in what I do, but in what I've done. And one of the things that I'm most proud of in my many years in the amusement business was the discovery of a little girl who is considered by picture fans throughout the world as one of the greatest singer of popular songs that there is. She's still in her teens, and yet one of Metro-Goldwyn's biggest stars. You've seen her in Broadway Melody. You hear her now singing Oh, Mr. Gable, Miss Judy Garland.
Gable, I am writing this to you, and I hope that you'll read it so you'll know. My heart beats like a hammer, and I stutter and I stammer every time I see you at the picture show. I guess I'm just another fan of yours, and I thought I'd write and tell you so. Oh, 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 you made me love you. Didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. You made me love you. And all the time you knew it, I guess you always knew it. You made me me glad, but there were times, sir, you made me feel sad. You made me sigh, 'cause didn't want to tell you, I didn't want to tell you. I think you're grand. Yes, I do, indeed I do, you know I do. I must tell you what I'm feeling. The very mention of your name sends my heart reeling. You know you made me love you.
Pardon me, Mr. Gable. I don't want to bother you. You've got a lot of girls that tell you the same thing. And if you don't want to read this one, you don't have to. But I just had to tell you about the time I saw you, and it happened one night. That was the first time I ever saw you. I knew right then you were the nicest fellow in the movies. I guess it was because you acted so... you were so natural-like. Not like a real actor at all, but just like any fellow you meet at school or at a party. And then one time I saw you in a picture with Joan Crawford. And I had to cry a little. Because you loved her so much. And you couldn't have her. Well, not till the end of the picture anyway. And then one time I saw you in person. You were going to the Coconut Grove one night, and I was standing there when you got out of your car, and you almost knocked me down. Oh, but it wasn't your fault. No, I was in the way. But you looked at me, and you smiled. Yeah, you smiled right at me as if you meant it, and I cried all the way home just because you smiled at me for being in your way. Oh, I'll never forget it, Mr. Gable. Honest Jimson, you're my favorite actor.
I don't care what happens, let the whole world stop. As far as I'm concerned, you'll always be the top.
I bring you a man whom you know as a great comic. I know him as a great comic and a grand fellow. The famous Ziegfeld motion picture comedian, half of the Wheeler and Woolsey team, Burt Wheeler.
Well, thank Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. And members of the orchestra, the program boys, the janitor, and his assistant. The attendants in the smoking room, and you, Georgie Porgy.
What's the idea of that?
Well, everyone in the order of their importance. No, I'm only kidding. Say, George, I've been a little late. I just got in. How's the program been going?
Fine, up to now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll stop that.
Oh, you're worried. I want to ask you something. How was your last picture?
How was our last picture?
Mm-hmm.
George, at the preview, you could hear them laughing clear across the street.
What was playing over there?
Uh-huh. The Marx Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
But see, George, I've got a sense of humor. I don't mind you kidding. That's just a twist on an old gag.
Well, Bert, what's wrong with an old gag? Say, listen, this is a new generation. Besides, Mark Twain once said there are only 11 original jokes in the world.
Yeah, and you've been telling the same 11 ever since I've known you.
Is that so? Well, now, look, I'm going to show you something. Every gag is practically the same. All you do is put a different twist on it.
Uh-huh.
For instance, where does a joke start from? How is it brought up to date? I'll demonstrate. With this demonstration this evening, I'll need someone to assist me. Anyone at all. All you have to have is the intelligence of a child 6 years old. Bert, I wonder if you'd help me out.
See, I knew you were going to say it. I'll be glad to help you. And I want to thank you for that big bill up you just gave me.
Oh, I do that to all the guests.
I know you do, but I'll try and answer all the questions. If I can't do that, I'll take a fall. Don't worry about me, George.
All right. Here it is, a demonstration of the gag. This gag was first used in the days of the Cliff Dwellers. A woman has 5 children and only 4 apples. She wants to divide the 4 apples equally among the 5 children. How does she do it? Answer, Mr. Wheeler.
She makes applesauce. I know all those
that's
answers.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, I know it's right.
That's out of your last picture. Now, here's the same gag. Here is the same gag used last week by a very prominent comedian with a switch.
Yeah.
Hillbilly has 5 children and only 4 potatoes. How does he divide them equally?
I know that, too. He makes mashed potatoes.
No. He shoots one of the children. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the evolution of the old gag. Now, Bert, you certainly remember the insult joke.
Oh, the first insult joke?
Sure.
Why, that was used on Noah's Ark.
Bert, don't tell me you played there.
No, that was Wolsey.
Is that so? He'll be on here in a couple of weeks. He'll fix you good, I guarantee you. Anyway, the insult joke. When Noah presented his wife with a beautiful fur coat, what did she say?
Who would ever think that you could get such a beautiful coat from a skunk?
That's right. I know
it's right. Yeah. Now,
here's the same...
Been right for 20 years.
It's the same gag with a modern twist. I only heard this at a bottom center the other day. Here it is.
Yeah.
You and I are having dinner at my house. The dinner is over. Well, Bert, how did you enjoy it?
The roast ham was delicious. Who would think that I could get such a wonderful dinner from a pig?
Listen, Bert. If that wasn't a gag demonstration, I'd resent that pig business, you know?
Ah, George, you shouldn't get mad at that. Could never happen in your house.
All right. Exhibit 3, the old rhyming jingle gag. This was originated in the time of the ancient Greeks and in consecutive use from Aristotle down to Parthenocarpus. And if that isn't going down, you're crazy. Here it is. There was a little girl, her name was Nellie. You go on from there, Mr. Wheeler.
There was a little girl, her name was Nellie. She stood in the water up to her knees.
That don't rhyme, Mr. Wheeler. It don't rhyme.
Well, the water wasn't deep enough.
That's the idea. Same old jingle modernized, used in a big motion picture success this season. You take it, Bert.
There was a little girl, her name was Nellie. She stood in the water up to her knees.
It still doesn't rhyme.
I know it, but wait till the tide comes in.
That's the new twist. Exhibit 4, the old double-cross Scotchman stingy topper joke. The scene is in Scotland in a doctor's office. Bert, you be Dr. McWheeler. You understand? That's the Scotchman? Okay. And Dorothy, you play the part of Dr. McWheeler's nurse. We'll do it with the modern finish. Dorothy, come here. You're familiar with Scotch?
Oh, with ginger ale.
Never mind about that. Now, you're the nurse. Here we are in the doctor's office. Go right ahead.
Hi. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, my lass. Is Dr. McWheeler in?
Aye. Have you got an appointment?
I don't know what I've got. I said I want to come to see the doctor and find out.
Aye, here comes the doctor now.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, doctor.
What seems to be the trouble?
Well, I come to you because you were recommended to me by Sandy Lefkowitz.
A likely lad.
Doctor,
I've been wanting to ask you.
Yeah?
What do you charge for a visit?
Well, no, I charge $10 for the first visit.
Aye.
$5 for the second visit.
Aye.
And the third visit is free.
Aye, that's very good. Well, doctor, here I am again for the third time.
Aye, and take the same medicine I gave you the last time.
Even in sunny California, the winter evenings do get a little cold, and in the early morning, there's nothing quite so unpleasant as a chilly room. To overcome this discomfort, why not get a Gaffers and Sattler circulating gas heater? They are built in California, especially for California climatic conditions, in a variety of sizes to meet every heat condition, from a single room to heating the entire house. These heaters are beautiful in design. They're finished in durable porcelain enamel and are trimmed in triple-plated chromium finish. This finish ensures that like-new appearance for many years. They're decorative in design and will fit into almost any decorative scheme. These heaters may now be purchased at a price so low that every man owes it to himself and his family to see that this winter his house is properly heated. See your nearest Gaffers and Sattler dealer tomorrow for a demonstration of these marvelous heating appliances. There are no finer. And behind each one is the guarantee of Gaffers and Sattler, California's leading manufacturer of gas appliances.
Yes, this is George. But how did you like the show?
Oh, you did? Well, that's swell.
But how do you feel?
Oh, you went to the doctor.
So what did he say?
You don't chew your food enough?
Well, he's right. What did nature give you teeth for?
She didn't give them to you? You bought them?
I see. But look, I want to know about that trip you made to all the historical places around the country. Tell me all about it.
You did? Did you stop off at Yorktown?
Oh, yes. That's a very historical place. Mother, did you see the spot where General Cornwallis fell?
You did?
They should fix it.
You tripped there, too.
Well, let's say. Say, how is Anna? How is my lovely sister?
Oh, she's the feller is there. He just dropped in for a bite. 11 years already. He's just dropping in for a bite. What's going to be with it?
Who? Sammy Tucker?
No. It's not Sammy. It's Tommy. I should ask him to come up for dinner sometime.
Well, you bet I will.
Now, he wouldn't be like the others I brought up. No. He's not going to take any spoons. No. No, Mama, the union don't let him do that anymore. No.
Well, look, honey, we got to sign off now, but be sure and listen to next week at the same time.
Who?
Mrs. Schnitzendorfer?
She wants, I should hear, her husband Yodel. Look, Ma, tell her she has no idea how hard it is to arrange a radio program, will you? All right, good night, Mom.
Good night, everybody.
George Jessel, Norma Talmadge, guest stylist Howard Greer, noted Hollywood fashion creator, Tommy Tucker and his orchestra, Dorothy McNulty, and the two famous personalities, the great MGM star Judy Garland and the Ziegfeld and motion picture comedian Burt Wheeler, have come to you in 30 Minutes in Hollywood. Next week, George Jessel will present his guest through the courtesy of Warner Brothers Pictures, Glenda Farrell and Barton McLean, in a scene now in the making from the popular Torchy Blaine series. Brought to you direct from Hollywood through facilities of the Don Lee Network. 30 Minutes in Hollywood, starring George Jessel, has been a presentation of Gaffers and Sattler.
Heard on this program were the selections Who Knows from Rosalie, Roses in December from Life of the Party, That Old Feeling from Vogues of 1938, and Oh, Mr. Gable from Broadway Melody of 1938. Next week, an added surprise. 30 Minutes in Hollywood presents Ted Healy's Three Super Stooges. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.